But if somebody is here this morning and they're lost, not prepared to meet the Lord, I pray you don't feel welcome this morning. I pray that you feel uneasy. I want you, your flesh, your nature, I want you to feel happy to be at church and for you to tell that people's happy for you to be here. But if your soul's not ready to meet the Lord, I don't want you to be comfortable. I don't want you to feel at ease. I want you to be worried. I want you to feel that conviction of the Lord. If you have your Bibles, you'd like to turn with us to the book of 2 Kings, chapter number 5. We say we do desire your prayers, and I say something here, I guess maybe in a way be funny. I don't know necessarily that I mean for it to be funny, just something that we've talked about. I guess everybody probably knows it's been a pretty good while since we've got to have church on Sunday morning. Been a long time since the preacher's preached, and never in my life ever while I've been preaching have I ever been accused of being short-winded, not taking a short period of time. And Travis was aggravating me there sometime last week, said that whenever we did get back together on a Sunday morning, he was going to bring a bucket of chicken so he'd be prepared. He knew we'd probably end up being here a long time. Chad shaking his head back there. And I don't know how long we'll be here in that regard, but I told them, just joking along, I said, well, bring one. Maybe we'll preach a while, and I'll take a chicken leg and debone that for you and then preach a little while more. So I don't know exactly how long we're going to be, but I know what the Lord's given me this morning. I feel is needful for the time in which we're in. So you pray for us. Going to read this scripture here, and then Lord willing, read a couple other places, but forbear with us. Maybe not quite as much scripture as we read at other times, but still nonetheless, quite a lengthy bit of scripture. 2 Kings chapter number 5. Start reading there in verse number 1. Read this to you. Go over and read a couple other places, and then I'm going to pray. Do my best to give you my heart the best way I know how. 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse number 1. The Bible says, now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor. That sounds pretty good, don't it? I mean, it talks real good about Naaman. Tells you all the good things about him. If that's all we know about Naaman, if that's all we had understanding about him, well, we'd think Naaman's all right. He's a pretty good feller. Everything's going well in Naaman's life. No, don't really got anything much for Naaman to worry about, but it don't stop there. The scripture goes on and it says, but he was a leper. And it tells us the rest of the story, if you will, about Naaman there. Talks all the good about him, but he was a leper. Verse number 2, the Bible says, and the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now, when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And I'll stop right there just a minute and just clarify this. Probably, I guess everybody maybe knows, has understanding of what kind of position maybe that the king found himself in here. The king of Syria, a neighbor, and a rivaling king, had sent somebody that had high esteem in that community to him with a letter saying, this man's got leprosy, do something about it. And there that king was, and everybody knows about kingships and about the power they have. They have rule over pretty much everything. They want somebody to eat out of the trash, they tell them to eat out of the trash. They want somebody to go to war, they tell them to go to war. And people listen whenever the king speaks. But here this king finds himself in a circumstance where a man standing in front of him, Josh, that's got a need in his life, leprosy. Amen. The worst thing that anybody could have naturally in that day and in that hour, as far as disease and sickness is concerned. And there he was before the king that maybe everybody thought had control over everything. Maybe everybody thought that he had the power, if you will, to make things happen according how it needed to happen. But the king knew, amen, his limitations. He knew, amen, that he didn't have no power to be able to do anything to help this man. And he looked around and he said, well, now what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to be able, amen, to help this man? There he found himself in a predicament, somebody needing help. And there was nothing he could do, amen, to help him. I'm going to say this morning. God, amen, didn't send Brother Tommy up here to give what the Lord had placed on his heart for circumstance, amen, or happenstance, or just by the passion, amen, of words or passion of time. Amen, somebody, amen, I'm just going to get real plain. Amen, down right where we live at, somebody here, amen, this morning has come to this church. And amen, brother or sister, male or female, amen, bond or free, Jew or Greek, I know not in that regard, but I know that somebody needs help this morning. Can you say amen to that? Amen. And I'm just going to be honest. I don't want to hurt the church's feelings or to hurt nobody and make them feel bad about themselves. But if we tell it right, amen, this morning, children, amen, whoever it may be that sits here among us this morning, there ain't one thing today that I can do to help them. And there ain't one thing, amen, that we can do, amen, as a church to help them. Amen, our hands is tied, if you will. And just like the king of Syria found his hands, the king of Israel found his hands, amen, tied, and needed help, but wasn't nothing, amen, they could do. Come on with me now. In the scriptures, I'll read on to you. And the Bible says, and it was verse number 8. And it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Let me stop right there just a minute. I'm going to preach in a minute. I'm just trying to read the scriptures that the Lord placed on my heart. Amen. Now, amen, the Word of God, amen, tells us here in the Scripture that this noise, amen, or this communication got back. Amen. Over there to Elisha, the Bible calls him the man of God. He got word of it, got news of it. Amen. The king had rent his clothes. Amen. That was a sign, amen, of emotion, a sign of, amen, distress. If you'll have it, the king was saying, ain't no hope, ain't nothing can be done here. But word got over there, amen, to where the Spirit of God was and the power of God was. And old Elisha told him, he said, don't worry about it no more. Amen. He said, send him, amen, down here to me. Send him down in front of me that he may know, and that you may know, and that the world may know, amen, that there's still a prophet in Israel. Lord, help me, I'd say this just the right way. We live in the perilous times, don't we, children? You say amen to that. Look out the window, driving up and down the road, watch the news. And if we tell it right, amen, the common theme you see, amen, to hear and get from people is distress. Amen. If it was old time days, most of us would be sitting around in sackcloth and ashes with our clothes red and our head shaved, looking at the shape that the world's in. But brethren, I want to tell you this morning, but the help and the mercy and the grace of God, and there still is hope today, children. Amen. For a lost and dying world, there still is hope today for them that need help from God. You say, preacher, where's it at? It's still, amen, in that book right there. It's still in the power of God. It's still in the presence of God. Amen. Where two or three are gathered in my name, and there I'll be in the midst of them. You may have come in here this morning. Amen. Survey your life. Amen. Lost or saved, I don't know. Amen. Thinking there ain't no hope. And thinking there ain't no way for your life to be changed. But then, amen, take God, stay with me, so I don't get in front of myself. Amen. Let me read on here a little more in this scripture. Amen. 9 verse number 9. The Bible says so. Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him saying, go and wash in Jordan seven times, and thy flesh shall come again thee, and thou shalt be clean. Amen. Now listen real closely here. Amen. Let me just lay this out right. Amen. Naaman. Amen. Evidently he wanted to be cleansed. Evidently he wanted to be healed, Travis. You say, preacher, how do you know? Amen. Somebody somewhere. Amen. It went to the king of Syria, told him about the little maid that was down there. Amen. Word got back to Naaman that the king was going to put a letter together. Stay with me. Amen. There it could have been real easy. Amen. The king could have wrote that letter. And he could have laid it there in Naaman's hands. Amen. And it all then rested on Naaman. Whether or not he wanted to pursue or to go anywhere, he could have took that letter and stuck it on the shelf somewhere and stayed right there in Syria. But obviously, he needed something. He wanted help. And he went down there, didn't he? He made the effort, brother. He put the energy into it. Went down there to the house of Elisha and stood there. Amen. Now he went down there, stay with me. He went down there probably with great expectations, had the attitude. Amen, Shelby, if you will. He probably thought, amen, we're reading the scriptures here in a minute, that he's going to go over there and Elijah's going to come out and make a great big to-do. Amen, call a great big racket, put his hand on him and tell him some great thing that he needed to do in order to be healed. Amen, but the Bible said he gave him a little old simple command. Just a little old simple command. He said, go down to the Jordan River and wash seven times. He wanted to be healed. He was there, amen, amen, at Elisha's house. And Elisha told him, amen, what to do. And now what happens here in the story? Stay with me. Let's read on. Amen, in the scripture. Amen, verse number. Amen, verse number 11. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, and behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Parphar the rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. Let me stop right there and take my time and lay all this out according to how the Lord give it to me. I don't know nobody's heart. Amen. I don't know, amen, as I said, lost or saved. But if we tell it right, even as children of God, being born again, being saved, as we're saying, there's times in our life we need the Lord, that we need help from the Lord, that we need God to move in our life in ways. Help me, Lord, I'll get all this out. Amen. Just for that way, I'll speak for me, children. I won't speak for none of you. But as a saved man, as a man that's trying to live right and trying to walk right, I find myself from time to time looking at the circumstances of my life and I'm thinking, oh Lord, what am I going to do? How am I going to handle this? How's this all going to come to pass? You ever been there? You ever find yourself needing something and wondering what's going to happen? And then we'll come down to the house of God. We'll come down, amen, to where the Lord is, to where his power is, and by the message of God, whether it be in the singing of the song, whether it be in the preaching, whether it be in that still small voice, amen, it whispers our heart, God will tell us exactly, amen, what it is we need to do, and how we need to do it. And if we tell it right, children, amen, the first thing we do is we question it, amen, we doubt that. And if we tell it right, we want to bargain. Amen. With God, we want to say, well, now, Lord, can I do this instead? Lord, can I go here instead? Lord, can I take this up instead? Lord, ain't there something else that I could do to fix this? And amen, we'll go on a little while and we'll negotiate with it. And when the human
hell. And when the Lord don't change his mind, and when God said this is hell, it's got to be. If we ain't careful, we'll go away in a rage and in our anger, in our heart, amen, being turned, amen, away from God. Amen, just tell it not just mad, if you will. Amen, at the circumstances and how God said to do it. Come on, women, you know I'm telling you that. Amen to God. Amen. He says, well, ain't this better? Help me, Lord. I remember when I was lost. Amen to God, I do. I remember, amen, you know what I do just to, amen, I try to do better. Amen, I try to quit that drinking. I try to quit them drugs. I try to lay that stuff down. I'd get off to the side somewhere to leave out. And amen, I thought, just as Naaman thought, I thought, well, I'll put this aside. I'll quit this drinking. I'll quit this lying. I'll quit this stealing. And amen, I do pretty good for a little while. I do all right for a day or two. And one time I believe I went about 17 or 18 days without drinking or doing no dope or nothing like that. Amen, I thought, when I'm doing pretty good. And just as soon as I thought I was doing good, somebody handed me a beer. Somebody handed me a marijuana cigarette. And the next thing you know, I was right back in the same shape, in the same mess I was in. Come on, women. I've been raised in church. I've been around church. Amen. Now get with me just a minute. You know what I did there? I didn't get mad at Lee. Amen to God. You know who I got mad at just then? I got mad at God. I said, well, now, Lord, why ain't you helping me? Lord, why didn't you keep me away from these things and away from this stuff? And the Lord said real simple, because you didn't do it the way I said you have to do it. You thought you could do it. You thought you could handle it. You thought you had the power. Amen. But if you're going to do it, you hear me? Amen. Today, thank God. Ain't nobody in here can help herself. Ain't nobody in here can rescue themselves. Ain't nobody in here can provide a way out for you. Amen. If you're going to do it, you'll have to do it God's way. You'll have to do it the way that the Lord, amen, lays it out and says it has to be done. Or you'll still be in the same shape you was when you got here this morning. Help me, Lord. Amen. Come on. Let's read a little more. Amen. Verse number 13. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? In other words, amen, them servants was asking him, if he had told you to do something, amen, that later on down the line, or that in the act of it was going to get you recognition, or was going to get you recognized, was going to lift you up, amen, was going to give you a famous name, amen, if you was going to do something, amen, that would edify you, would you not have done that? Or would you not have went out there and laid your hand on it and done exactly what he said to do? And you know what Naaman thought, my shit? Well, yeah, sure, I reckon I probably would have. Amen, now read what it says here in the scriptures. Amen, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he said to thee, wash and be clean. Then went he down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child. And he was clean. I don't know if anybody, if that wants to make anybody else in here take a run and shout and spell or not, but it sure makes the preacher, amen, want to kick up his heels a little bit and run around the house of God and worship Lord. You say, why, preacher? Because when Naaman did it the way that God said do it, amen, it worked, didn't it? Amen, it come out on the other side and he was clean everywhere. Amen, y'all with me? Come on now, let's go to Luke chapter number 7. We'll come back over there. Amen, to Kings, I promise. Excuse me, Mark. Chapter number 7, Mark. Chapter number 7, don't read a little more. out of here. I'm still just reading the scriptures. Amen. Thank God. I don't want nobody to get hurt at me. But I ain't got to the message yet. Amen. I'm just trying to get to reading. Amen. That the Lord placed on my heart here. Amen. I'm going to have to get rid of this. Amen. Baptist. Amen. Handkerchief. And get me one of these free wheels. Amen. Handkerchief. Well. Amen to God, children. Hallelujah. Amen. Mark chapter number 7 and verse number 31. Mark 7 and 31, the Bible says, and again, a departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came into the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him. Now who's to him? He's talking about Jesus. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears. And he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha, and that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And verse number 36, and he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, listen now, he hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Amen. Let me take my time right here. Amen. Just a minute and get all this straight out. How the Lord, amen, brought it to me. Amen. And I got to read some more. Amen. And then I'll come on back, amen, to the Second Kings, and then maybe I'll preach a while. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. And brother, amen, you'll find here in the scriptures, amen, the Bible says this man had an impediment of a speech. He couldn't talk. And we also learned that he was deaf. Amen. Anybody knows much about speech pathology? Amen. Or speech language? Amen. You'll know, amen, that without hearing, it is very, very difficult for you to speak. Not that you can't. Amen. But it's very difficult for you to do so. Amen. Because you can't hear your own voice. Amen. And now this man here couldn't speak. And he couldn't hear. What are you trying to say, preacher? Amen. In other words, this man, amen, if he wanted to hear, he could not have heard what he wanted to hear. If he wanted to speak, he could not have said, amen, what he wanted to say. Y'all with me? Amen. But the Bible says, amen, that some of them around there, amen, that had a compassion for this man. Amen. I would thank God. Maybe I'll preach now. Amen. Amen. Some of it had a burden, if you will. Amen. For the circumstances this man found his life in. When they looked at him, Danny, and they seen what kind of shape he's in. Help me, Lord, I'll get this out. I don't want to make nobody mad. Amen. But evidently, amen, here in the scriptures, amen, there wasn't many Baptists back then. Amen. Because these people wasn't acting like Baptists. When they seen this man's life and the mess he's in, you know what Baptists do? Amen. We'll look over at somebody's life and we'll say what pitiful shape they're in. We'll say they ought to do better. Amen. They ought to act better. Amen. What kind of shame that? Amen. And we'll look at them over there. Amen. It's a bad shape their life's in, Justin. Amen. Cause your Bible, but I'm going to have to use it. Amen. For an example. Amen. But you know what that crowd around there? Amen. That had a burden for that fella did. He couldn't hear what he needed to hear. He couldn't say what he needed to say. Amen. But they seen what kind of bad shape he's in. You know what they did? They didn't stay over here. Amen. Where they were. Looking at him over there. And the Bible says they went over there. Amen. To where he was. Are y'all hearing me? Amen. I'm going to have me a shouting spell. Amen. Whenever I was lost and on my way to hell, I'm glad There's some Christians, brother. There's some people of God. Amen. That looked at my life and seen I was in a mess. And they didn't just stay over here and leave me over there. Brother, they come to where I was. Amen. They begin to invest in my life. They begin to get over there. And whenever I couldn't say what I needed, there's a praying for me. There's a standing for me. Whenever I couldn't hear what I needed to hear, there's a hearing it for me. They'd go to church on Sunday and hear about how good God was, hear about how good Jesus was. And you know what they'd do? They'd make their way back down to my house, back to where I was. And the good things they heard on Sunday morning and the good things they see on Sunday night, they'd bring them to me and come over where I was. And they'd give me some of what they had. They wanted to share the good news of Jesus with this sinner boy. They had a burden for my heart. Thank God forevermore. Help me, Lord. That I don't make nobody mad. Or hurt nobody's feelings. Amen. Help me, brother. Help me, Jesus. Amen. Talking about Naaman. Naaman, brother, was a leper. Amen. And according to the scriptures, amen, God's people, the Jews at that time, the Israelites, amen, said, but you know what? They couldn't be around nobody had leprosy. Amen. They couldn't go around nobody had leprosy. It was forbidden in the scriptures. Amen. For anybody, this man here I'm preaching about, that had, amen, the impediment of the speech, and had that problem, amen, with his hearing. Amen. They couldn't hear what he needed to say. Amen. The people of the Jews, the Israelites, amen, they couldn't even be around him. They couldn't even go, amen, up to him and get out there next to, amen, of where this fellow, amen, that had. He said, preacher, why? Amen. Because there was something altered about his life, about the circumstances. If you have it, he was unclean. And they couldn't even be around this deaf man. This man with an impediment of speech. It would cause him to be unclean. It would cause him to be at a place, amen, where they could not, amen, go into the temple and worship. Amen to God. But you know what they did? Amen. Thank God. I'm glad somebody, amen, had enough sense to realize. Ain't nothing we can do for them. Ain't nothing I can do to help them. Amen. But I'm going to jeopardize myself. Amen. Just long enough to get them next to somebody. Amen. They can help them. And you know what they did? Amen. They got that old deaf boy. They got that old man of impotent speech up. Amen. One day, it don't tell us what day of the week this was. Oh, glory to God. It don't tell us if this was Sunday. Amen. It don't tell us if this was Tuesday. It just says a day. Amen. The Lord started, amen, on a journey somewhere. And the noise went about. And the next thing you know, it got back to them people that had been helping that deaf man. And helping that man with an impediment of speech. And you know what they said? Boys, we have to today. We've got to get him over there to where Jesus is. Amen. They got him over there. And they led him up there, amen, to where the Lord was, amen, told the Lord what was going on, amen, get with me just a minute, and then that crowd didn't have no more part, brother, in what happened. Are y'all with me? I didn't have no more part in what had just stayed right there. Sit down if you will. Amen. They couldn't do nothing else. Amen. Amen. But they did what they could do. And what could they do? They showed him love. And they showed him compassion. And they led him to the Lord. And to where Jesus was. And then the Bible tells us plainly. Amen. It wasn't in front of everybody. It wasn't in no great big way. Jesus led him off by himself. Away from the multitude. Amen. And he stuck his fingers in his ears. Amen. He spit on his hand and he touched his tongue. And the Bible said he looked up into the heavens. And he said, Ephphatha, which is to be opened. And then what does the Bible say? Amen. 6 months of speech therapy. Amen. 6 months. How did he got him? Amen. Come on with me. An ocular implant. Oh, no, Jesus. It says straightway. Amen. His tongue was loose. And he began to hear. Amen. Them people standing around. Amen. They looked at Jesus. And they thought, wow. Amen. Wow. Come on with me just a minute. I'm not trying to make nobody mad. Or hurt nobody's feelings. Help me, Lord. I'd say this just the right way. But you know what anymore? We live in such a sensational life. Amen. Society. That God Almighty, brother. Amen. Has to rain down hellfire and brimstone. Has to make earthquakes. Amen. Has to make tsunamis. Come in our life for people. And to recognize God. And to recognize who God is. Are y'all with me? Amen. But sitting around that day, wasn't no earthquake, wasn't no hellfire and brimstone. It was just a touch of Jesus on that man's life. And you know what everybody's saying? They said, wow. Amen. Look yonder at what he does. It may not be helping nobody else this morning, but brother, it still stirs my heart. And I look back yonder. Hallelujah. 20 years ago, thank God, and to see where I was, and to see what I was. Woo, glory! There wasn't no earthquake that morning. Amen. There wasn't no tsunami that day. He just touched my life. He just touched my heart. And all the way back yonder, you know what I said? I said, wow. And brother, it's been 20 years later. And you know what I got to say about it this morning? Wow! And what Jesus has done in my life. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Come on. Amen. There that man was. Help me, Lord. I'll say this just the right way so that I don't hurt nobody's feelings or make nobody mad. I'm sorry if I'm embarrassing you, Joseph. Having you sitting up here in front of everybody. Help me, I'd get this out the right way. Amen. Them people back there, they never led that man to Jesus. Amen. For what they'd get out of it. They never led that man to Jesus. Amen. Because of the reward. Amen. Of something that they needed in their life. Amen. They led that man there. Amen. Because he needed something from Jesus. Hey, whenever he come time to get to need, come on with me. Hey, whenever he come time to get to need mess, and for that man's life to be touched, that crowd of people wasn't standing around and a throng in that man. Amen. And trying to make sure that while he touched him, he touched them too. Y'all with me? And I get what they need. They stepped out of the way, brother. They stepped back for a minute and they made it all about him. Amen. And they made it all about that fellow that needed to help. And to let Jesus have some time. Amen. With him alone. You say, preacher, why is it matter? Come on with me just a minute. Amen. You can go sit down, Justin. Amen. Help me, Lord, to get this out. Preacher, why does that matter? What difference does that make? Amen. Because this is how the flesh works in the preacher's life. In my own life, now maybe not yours, but in mine. If I'd have been there that day, and my flesh knowing who I am, and how my mind works, if I'd have been blind, or deaf, or had an impediment of speech, amen, and they set me down there, and all that crowd was thronging around, and Jesus was healing people left and right, and touching all them, and I got touched as well, amen, it wouldn't have took 2 days, or 3 days down the road. You know what my flesh would have said? My flesh would have said, that's an accident. He didn't mean to heal you. He meant to heal them. And you just accidentally, it rubbed off on you. Y'all hearing me? Amen. The devil ever tell you stuff like that? The flesh ever tell you stuff like that? Amen. Tommy are talking this morning and saying, you're here for a purpose. You're here for a reason. And in your mind, the flesh is saying, he's talking to somebody else. That's for somebody else. That ain't for me, preacher. How do you know that's what happened? Amen. Because I know the Lord. And I know this flesh. I know what the flesh will do. It'll try to convince you that you're here for some other purpose, some other reason, of the accident, of the serendipity. Amen. The circumstance. But you ain't here because of all that. Amen. The good preacher. How can you prove it? I can't prove it to you. Amen. But he can this morning. If you'll, amen. If you'll spend some time just you and him this morning on this altar, let him touch your ears and touch your mouth. You say, well, preacher, I don't know what to say. Preacher, amen, I'm not hearing it like you're saying it. Amen, let him touch your ear. Let him touch your... Help me, Lord, I say this. I didn't know what to pray, neither, Shelby. I didn't know what to say that morning. All I know is I was wretched and poor and miserable and lost. And I needed some, wasn't sure what it was. Lord, I got up there that morning and I got to talking to him. He opened up my mouth and my heart poured out on that altar. And whenever my heart started talking, I got up that Sunday morning and brother, it was different. Hallelujah, I'd been changed by the power of God. Amen. If you'll spend some time just you and him, you can find out he's here for you too. Help me, Lord. Let me get all this out. Just the right way. Turn now, if you will, to Acts chapter number 26. Acts chapter number 26. Read just a little bit more here. And then, Lord willing, we're going to go back. Amen. We're going to go back to, amen, 2 Kings. Acts chapter number 26. And let me read starting now in verse number 9. No, let's go back. Go back to verse number 6. Go back to verse number 6. And now I stand. Now this is Paul talking here. He says, and now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come, for which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. In other words, what Paul was telling old Agrippa here, he's saying, amen, my life's existence, my very being, was to do everything I could contrary to this man Jesus. Amen, to war against him, fight against him, to, amen, cause trouble for them that believed in him. Amen, he said, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them, and I punished them oft in every synagogue. Let me stop right there, and let me read that back to you, the end of verse number 10. It says, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. In other words, whenever it come time for them to stand trial, amen, whether life or death would be decided against them, Levi, he said, I testified against them that they might be put to death. Amen. My very words were the words that they used to condemn these people to death. The words I spoke out of my mouth. I said these things that man might be killed because he believed in Jesus. Oh, Lord, help me. And I placed verse number 11. And I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. He said, whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest. Let me stop right there. In other words, amen, Paul said that was the point of my life. That was the circumstances I was living under, and that was my sole reason for living. Amen. Was to go, amen, do what I could to persecute these folks. Amen. He said, and there was a certain day I was going to this city called Damascus. Amen. Mind help me, Lord. My intentions that day, amen, was to do all these things that was over here. But listen now what Paul says. Amen to God. He said, at midday, O king. Hallelujah. You say, preacher, why are you having such a hard time reading? I'm reading Paul's testimony. Of the children, I'm seeing mine. Amen. I'm looking back through the window of a little old Geo Metro. One Saturday night. Oh, glory to God. Up on the side of man. Mary, man, I'm reading about Paul. But I'm seeing a little fella named Lee sitting in a Geo Metro. Amen. With a pistol cock and stuck between his teeth. And a fixing to blow the back of his head off. Amen. But at midday. Amen. About midnight. Amen. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Somebody knocked on the window. Amen. And to thank God just like. Let me get back to 2 Kings for a minute. Amen. That little maid there. Amen. The Bible said she was there as a captive, brother. She was there against her will. She wasn't down at Naaman's house because she wanted to be there. You know where she wanted to be? She wanted to be home. She wanted to be, amen, where she was free. But while she was down there at Naaman's house, she seen somebody that needed help. And you know what she did? She told him a story. She gave him a message. Amen. About a man over yonder in Israel that could change his life. That could make a difference. Are you hearing me, children? Amen. This is the message that God gave me. And I've been occurring for a few weeks now. Amen. Tell him again. Tell it again. One more time. Tell him again. Preacher, what are you talking about? Amen. I'm persuaded, children, of the same message of that Sunday morning of down on the side of Cane River. Amen. That same gospel, brother, of that same Jesus. It still has the same power. It still has the same, amen, Holy Ghost conviction as it did all that time of that Sunday. And I'm here against my will. Amen. The flesh. Amen. The soul on the inside. It's a yearning for a country far better live. I want to be home. God knows my heart I do. Got an anchor. Amen. On the other side. And I want to pull towards you. But while I'm here. Hallelujah. Hey, some people need help. Hey, some people need God. And the best I can. And the best I know how. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to tell them one more time the story of that man named Jesus and what a change he made in my life. What a difference he made in my soul. Oh no, the story never grows old. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. What'd Paul say? At midday, verse number 13. Help me just a minute right here. Look at me, church. Amen. Those of you that's out there in your cars. Amen. Listen to me. Amen. I'm going to read about Paul. But while I'm reading about Paul, I want you to close your eyes. And for just a few minutes this morning, I want you to remember where you was. And remember who you was. And remember what kind of shape that your life was in before midday come. Woo! Amen. Close your eyes and go with me just a minute. Amen. While I read to you about Paul. Amen. At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. A light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, amen, now just keep your head closed or your eyes closed, your head bowed. And now hear me now, the words you heard that morning, the words you heard that day, the words you heard that night, it may not be these same words that I'm going to read to Paul, but you, if you've heard his voice, you know the words he spoke to you. Hallelujah. Remember them words while I read to you. Amen. He said to him, he said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Amen to God. Look up here just a minute. Amen. Do you remember? Amen. The first time you asked the Lord a question. You remember the first time you spoke to him with an earnest and a broken heart? I remember. Amen. That Sunday morning I was down there and I was talking. And finally, amen, I said these words. These are the words I said out loud. I said, Lord, I've tried everything. And the only reason I'm here this morning, the only reason I come today, is to give you one try to change my life. That's what I said with my mouth. But you know what my heart was saying? My heart was crying out to him. Is this really real? Can there really be something to this? Can I really find what I need? And the voice I heard, amen, the sound I heard on the other side, you know what I heard him whisper? He said, I am that I am. Amen to God. He's my bread when I'm hungry. He's my shelter in the storm. He's my rock in a weary land. Amen. Thank God it may not be like that for you, children, but I don't always need him to be the same thing every day of my life. There's times I need him to be groceries in the cabinet. Amen. Ain't that right, honey? And he's always been there. Ain't been times it's been oodles and noodles and treat meat sandwiches, brother. Amen. But he's always been there. Ain't been times I've needed formula. Amen. To feed them babies. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Every time I've needed him, he's been there, children. Oh, glory to the Lamb of God. Ain't been times I need the power to stay turned on one more day than it should stay on. And if I could get over and get it paid. Are y'all with me, young? Has he ever been like that in your life? Are we talking about the same Jesus? Hallelujah. Even I know who Paul was talking about. Even I know that testimony that he had. You say, why, preacher? Because that's the same Jesus that reached down in the bottom and pulled me up, established my God. That's the same Jesus that has touched my baby and fed my family. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. And I say, and I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may be, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. And let me take my time right here now, and I'm going to try my best to get all this tied up. As I read to you here, amen, this scripture in Acts chapter number 26. If you study the scriptures real closely, you'll see now amen, that this is the third time that we get Paul's testimony given to us in the book of Acts on two other occasions. Now, you go back and you read the first time the account there in Acts, chapter number 9, you'll see, amen, that it's much shorter than what you heard here. Amen, it don't tell nothing about you're going to have to go, amen, to all these other coasts of Judea. It don't tell nothing about him delivering you out, amen, of the hand of them that wanted to stone you. It don't say nothing about you having to be shipwrecked. Are y'all with me? It don't say nothing about you having to be, amen, cast upon an island. It don't say nothing about none of them things. And then we find, amen, the second testimony he gives before the Sanhedrin. Amen. And it's got a few more of them things in it than what it had the first go around. But it don't foreshadow all the things Paul's going to suffer in his life. And then we find here before Agrippa, amen, this is the last trial, you'll say, that he has, the last time he has to defend himself as he appeals, amen, to Caesar. And they put him on a ship to Rome and to go over and stand before, amen, the king of Rome, if you will. Amen, we don't got no account of all that. But we know, amen, according to history, that Paul's life comes to an end, brother. Amen, out there somewhere at the hand of some Roman guard. But in between, amen, this here, amen, testimony we get from him standing at Agrippa, he gets over under house arrest. And brother, he writes a few words to him. Amen to God. And he sends them back to the church. And in them words he tells them, he said, three times I've been shipwrecked. A night and a day I spent in the deep, out there on the water. He said, five times I received 40 stripes, save one of the Jews. He said, I was stoned, amen, and left for dead. One time I was let down in a basket over the wall. Y'all with me? But then at the end of it, he lays all them things out. You know what he says? He says, but the Lord hath delivered me out of them all. He said, that same Jesus, amen, that I seen at midday out there on that road to Damascus. Hallelujah. That same one that changed my life, that turned me in a different direction. In other words, you know what Paul was doing? He was telling it one more time. He was telling them again. He was saying, let me tell you what Jesus has done for me. You say, preacher, why do that? Why tell them again? Why tell it one more time? I'm going to tell you why, children, because it still makes a difference. Amen to God, the witness and the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to talk to myself. Amen to God, you ought to give your testimony one more time. If you can't give it for nobody else, some of you sitting here this morning ought to at least give it for yourself to remind you that you're saved. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm looking at some of you's faces this morning. You just need to remember who your God is. And if you'll give that testimony again, if you'll start back yonder where he found you, in the mess you're in, and get to talking about what he brought you out of, and remind yourself who you was without God, where you was before God, then this morning, it wouldn't matter what kind of bad shape you're in, you'd be able to rejoice, because you ain't going to hell. You ain't got to spend eternity in the lake of fire. He's still God. It's the same Jesus that turned me out of the way, and I can stand here this morning thus far and tell you, he's delivered me out of all of it. I'm still here today because of Jesus. Help me, Lord, to get this out the right way just a minute. Amen to the church. And the best way I can. Help me, Lord, help me. Amen, if you'll have it, Naaman is a type of this world. Amen. And on the surface, amen, everybody looks at the world, looks at people that are in the world. And on the surface, and Brother Darren, they look at the world and they say, well, mighty man of valor, honorable. Amen. They're married and given in marriage. Looks like things is, amen, doing all right, and people's, amen, are hanging on all right. But you see, a lot of times we forget, amen, what is said there at the end of that verse about Naaman. It says, but he was a leper. And Lord, help me to get all this out the right way. God, give me grace this morning. Amen, children. Amen, these young folks sitting in here this morning. God knows my heart. I don't know, amen, anybody's heart, whether they be right with God, whether they don't. As the brother said, I can't judge that. The Spirit, amen, that's in me will bear witness with the Spirit that's in you that we are the sons of God. Amen, and the fact reveals it to me that I can take, amen, some confidence and know it. But there'd be some that sit here among us today, I couldn't tell you, amen, whether they be lost or whether they be saved. Amen, but let me just lay this out here, God. I'll be in my helper. You know what the world out there is going to tell you? The world out there is going to tell you, amen, that you need a good job. Amen, and maybe you do in order to feed your family. That you need an education. You need such and such degree. Amen, going to tell you that you need to be married. Amen, a good house and good cars. Amen, right on down the road. Preacher, the world ain't going, oh, yes, it does. Amen, every time you turn the TV on, it's advertising some kind of new car. It's advertising some kind of new mortgage loan company to help people get houses. Amen. The world even tell you what kind of drinks you need to have in your refrigerator. Y'all with me? Amen. Pepsi wants you to have theirs in there. And Coca-Cola wants you to have theirs in there. Amen. The world will tell you everything you need to make you happy and make you feel like you can be at peace and be satisfied. But I want you to hear this, preacher, this morning. If you don't have Jesus, if you don't have Jesus, fully assured salvation settled down inside your soul, you can have, amen, the best car, you can have the fanciest house, you can have the prettiest wife or husband, you can have the best looking, most accomplished children, you can have a, amen, six-figure job, you can have all them things, and there'll come a time somewhere in your life you're going to find yourself miserable, amen, without God. He's the only one to give you hope. I'm going to tell you the truth. Amen. The devil might even be successful enough, and the flesh might even be successful enough to lie you right to your death and let you believe everything's all right. Amen. You may never experience that hopelessness in this life. You may never get to that place where you look around and think, well, amen, I just need something more than what I've got. But there'll come a day, amen, the Bible said it's appointed unto me once to die, and after this the judgment. Amen, preacher, what are you talking about? You'd believe whatever you want to. Amen, but you know why I like giving my testimony? I'm a practicing. I'm a doing my best to get it ready, honed up and laid down, so that one day after a while, when I stand before the great God of glory, and brother, amen, my knees are trembling and a shaking, I fall down, amen, to God. And they ask me, and the God of heaven said, amen, who are you? You know what I mean? The only thing I'm going to be able to tell you, I ain't nobody, but I trust in Jesus, my great deliverer. Amen, tell them again. Amen, I'm going to tell you there's every chance again. Amen, I get there, the only thing I'm going to have to stand on is the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. Amen to God. And I want to have it down ready to tell them how good that man named Jesus has been to me. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. That little... Is that what you're pointing at? That little maid that was down there in Naaman's house under captivity of the world, if you will. Help me, Lord, I'll get this out the right way. Don't you get mad at me. But I'm afraid there's a whole lot of times we come to church. I'm going to lay it out plain for you. And you get mad to preach if you want to. You can pick and scratch it and get glad, whatever you want to do. There's a whole lot of times we come to church in the house of God. And the Spirit of the Lord, superintendent, will say, anybody got a song? Anybody got a testimony? Anybody got anything to say about this man named Jesus? And right in the house of God, we'll let silence come. We'll let silence fall right here. Don't you get mad at me. Open that door up right yonder just a minute, Chad. And then we wonder why them people out yonder, amen, don't have no desire to come in here and see what it is, amen, that draws us in here and brings us in here. Do you know why it is? It's because the little maid ain't got nothing to say out there. Preacher, I've got something to tell. Don't you lie to me. You ain't telling them out there. If you can't tell us in here, brother, amen, where it's easy to do it, I find it highly unlikely you're doing much to tell, amen, to God, or to tell anybody out there about how good the Lord's been to you. Amen to God. Preacher, why does that matter? Amen. Because the very healing that Naaman received down there at Elisha's house, the very thing that he got whenever he went down there and washed in that, amen, River Jordan, would he ever have got it or even knowed anything about it if that little maid that was under duress, that was being held captive, that was down there against her will, that very easily could have looked at Naaman and could have said, that serves him right, having me down here against my will, amen, holding me captive whenever I want to be at home. If he dies of that leprosy, I'll be glad of it. Y'all with me? Amen. That's what the flesh could do, brother. Amen. But oh no, that little maid didn't have that mentality. Amen. She said, I would to God. He was up there where the man of God was. Y'all hearing me? Help me, Lord. Amen. We look around. I'm about done, I promise. Amen. We look around at the world that's out there. And you may not have nobody that needs Jesus. Everybody in your life may be saved and ready to meet the Lord. Amen. Judgment come today. And all you might celebrate the hallelujah. But I got people, brother, that's lost and on their way to hell. Amen. If God was to come today, amen, they'd open up their eyes in hell, brother. Amen. They've been deceived. The world deceived them. They've deceived themselves. I believe the lie, brother. Amen. About all this foolishness that you can be right with God and live like hell. That ain't the truth, youngers. Amen. According to the scriptures, the Bible says you have to repent. Amen. Turn away from that wickedness. Amen. Let God come into your heart and lead you in another direction. Give Him your whole soul, your whole life. Amen. Try with your very being to walk upright, trusting God to help you stay out of the world. Die right. Then you'll be ready to meet God. Amen. My family ain't in that shape. Amen, preacher, amen. Why does it matter? Amen, I'm going to tell it one more time. I'm going to tell you it's one more time. Amen, now God, you may sit here as a grown-up be a wanting, amen, and to get, amen, to your dinner box. You may be wanting to get to your recliner and a suffering through this. But there might be somebody lost sitting here this morning. Amen to God. They might be a little young and sitting here. And I said, if somebody just explained it to me, if somebody would just show me who this Jesus is, I want to be saved to Him. And tell Him one more time. Tell Him again. It still makes a difference. And when Naaman did it, how the Lord had it laid down, he got the help. He got the help he needed in his life. Lord, help me. I'll lay this out just the right way. I don't want nobody to get mad at me. But you know what we do as church? I'm talking about church people. Now, I'm not talking about lost people. I'm talking about church people. We talk about how we need the Lord's help. We want God to help us. we want the Lord to do something for us. And the Bible says plainly in the Scriptures that it's required of a servant to be found faithful. Want God to move in our life and do something for us. And then we want to flop around on Him and not be faithful to Him. Amen to God. Won't read that book like we're supposed to. Won't pray like we're supposed to. Won't even come to church like we're supposed to. But then sit around, amen, and pout because God won't help us when we ain't doing it His way. I ain't trying to be mean to you. I'm trying to tell you the truth. Amen. Because you just keep sitting around thinking, well, He ain't going to help me. He ain't going to help me. He ain't going to come. It ain't going to be the way it's supposed to be. Amen. It ain't going to do this. Amen. But you've got to do, amen, what's required of you as well. Amen. Preacher, what's required of me? Give Him your all. Everything. Your heart, your mind, your body. It's a preacher. Amen. I don't know who this is for. But God does this morning. You can't sit around and expect God to do if you're just halfway for Him. Help me, Lord. I say this just the right way so nobody don't get offended whenever I say this. But we talk about the Bible. We talk about the Scriptures. And amen. We're quick to talk about them sins of the fathers and how that the Bible says the sins of the fathers will be visited unto the children to the fifth and seventh and one place 12th generation. Amen. Right on. It says the sins of the fathers be visited on the children. Amen. And now why tell it again? Why give another testimony? Why try? Why strive? Why put the effort in? Amen. Because, amen, the effort you put in. Help me, Lord. I say this just the right way. They sleep. Send them up here. Amen. I'm going to do what the Lord told me to do. If you need to take a recess, go right ahead. Do whatever it is. Sit down there, babies. Sit down there. Now, I want you to be honest now, okay? Daddy's going to ask you some questions, all right? Now, this morning, we was riding over here to church. We was coming to church. We was sitting in the car. You was practicing that Bible verse, wasn't you? Back there in that back seat. Whenever I ask you if you're just going to get up in front of the church this morning and say in this Bible verse, what did you say you was? What was that emotion you had about having to stand up here in front of everybody? What did you tell me you was? Scared. Say it real loud, Titus.
Scared.
Was you scared when you got up here this morning, baby girl? You wasn't scared this morning? Well, praise the Lord. Why was you scared, Titus? Just be honest, buddy. Just tell everybody. It's all right. You don't got to be ashamed. It's okay. What did you tell me about people looking at you?
I don't like it.
Say it again.
I don't like it.
You don't like it? You don't like for people to look at you? Why don't you like for people to look at you?
It makes me nervous.
Say it again.
It makes me nervous.
Makes you nervous. You get nervous when people look at you? Not a lick. I'll go ahead and tell you this morning, she ain't saved yet. Maybe she is. Maybe she's a real good free will because she can tell you one thing in the car and then tell you something else when she gets in front of everybody. You're scared. It makes you nervous and you don't like for people to look at you. Well, then why'd you get up here and do it this morning, buddy?
Because I had to.
Why?
To.
Why'd you have to? It's okay. Take your time. Why'd you have to? Why'd you feel like you had to? You just felt like you had to. And you got up and did something you felt like you had to, although you was nervous and scared and you don't like people looking at you. How old are you?
Eight.
Thank you. You can go sit down. Unless you come as humble as a little child. I don't really know why, but I had to. I was nervous. I was scared.
And I don't like people looking at me. But I just had to. Reckon on what Jesus was talking about when he said, unless you come as humble as a little child. Don't really want to, but I know I got to. Come on. Preacher, why you tell it one more time? How in the world am I going to ask that boy and that girl if they're going to get up in front of all the youngs and do something that they're scared and nervous and don't want nobody looking at them if I ain't willing to get up there and tell it one more time how good Jesus has been to me? You want them youngins of yours to get saved? I want that girl to get saved. I want your youngest to get saved. Somebody, somewhere is going to have to be willing to do something that makes you nervous, makes you scared, and has people looking at you when you don't like people looking at you. Ever head bowed just for a moment. There's help here today for the lost and the found. There's a rescue here today for your life and your individual personal story may not be nothing like mine. It may not be nothing like anybody in this church. You may not be a drunkard or a dope head. Or you may not be any of them things, and then nonetheless you may be all of them things. There's only one remedy for your life. There's only one remedy for my life. Jesus. You heard me mention in the preaching here this morning that I found myself sitting in a little old car, gun sticking between my teeth. That's my story. That's where I was. Felt like my life was useless, hopeless, no reason for me to live. Every intention on, sometime within the next second or so, pulling that trigger, ending my life, and no doubt, surely I would have lifted my eyes in hell. But about the time I went to pull that trigger, headlights came up over the hill, hit right in the window of that car I was sitting in, and startled me. I took the gun down, stuck it underneath the seat. That car come by me slowly, and I thought, well, that's the law, sure enough. Thought it was either a North Carolina or a Tennessee highway patrolman turning around there at the top of the mountain. They come by, and the brake lights come on. They slowed down. Turned in that little pull-off on the side of Murray Mountain, pulled in behind me. Shut the car off. Heard the door open. I heard the footsteps come walking through the gravel. Tapped on the window, and I had a pair of old vice grip pliers stuck on that door handle to get it to roll down. Didn't have no handle on it. Crunk it about twice, get about a 2-inch crack on it. The voice on the other side said, I said, can I help you? And the voice on the other side said, no, I don't believe you can, but I believe I can help you. The Lord woke me up down there in Irwin at my house. Told me to come up here on this mountain. And the first car that I come to, I was supposed to give them this message. By then I was already in tears, trembling, jerking all over in that little old car seat. I said, say what? What's that? He said, son, Jesus loves you. Jesus just wanted me to tell you how much he loves you. I'll be praying for you. I love you. God bless you. And I'm going back to the house. Back through the gravel footsteps, got in the car, and I watched the taillights disappear. I drove back to Mars Hill. College, got out of the car. It was the next day before I remembered, Derek, realized I still had that gun cocked.
sticking underneath the seat. I drove to church the next morning, Dirt. Didn't even remember that gun was laying underneath our cot. Started walking up the steps there to go into Mars Hill. Dormitory, Huffman Dormitory, and there's a friend of mine sitting there on the porch, inebriated, drunk. Leaned back in a straight back chair with a guitar in his lap. Whenever I hit the steps, it startled him, Levi, and he kind of come forward in that chair, come back onto the legs of it, and his feet down, fell into playing a song, so messed up he didn't even know what he was doing. Whenever he hit the strings on it, started into it, you see, he's taught to play the guitar by his grandma and grandpa. I don't believe he remembered what he was doing, Arthur, but I know what he was doing. He started in playing, I recognized it immediately. Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. I screamed. Run through the door of that dormitory and run up the steps, down the hall. Run upstairs, run into my room like a 5-year-old boy, covered my clothes still on. Covered my head up over top of my head. Dreamed all night long I was going to hell. Screaming, watching the walls flake off, the worms working in and out of me. Woke up the next morning, my roommate, college roommate, sitting back one to two, amen, feet from my face. You tell he hadn't slept a wink since I got back in the door. He said, man, are you all right? I said, no. I'm lost, and if I die like this, I'm going to hell. He said, what are you going to do? I said, the only thing I know to do, I'm going down there to that little church where my uncle pastor's at. If Jesus will have anything to do with me at all, I'm going to give him my life. I'm going to give him my heart. I drove down there that Sunday morning. He preached on Legion, him being possessed of many devils. And whenever, amen, God left him, Jesus left him, he was clothed and in his right mind. He got done preaching. He had painted a picture of Jesus. He's a standing in front of that church as real as I've ever seen anything in my life. Holding his hands out and doing like that, saying, come unto me. Amen. He'd give an altar call. He said he didn't get no words out of his mouth. He just closed his Bible and he said, that's the message. I hollered real big and run to the altar. Fell down on the left-hand side, prayed. Told the Lord I was going to give him a try to change my life. Amen to God. He must have known, youngers. He needed him, that I needed, amen, all the way to the bone. Holy Ghost salvation. Rather, amen, thank God, that's been 20 years ago now. Hallelujah. 20 years ago, amen, 19 years ago. Amen, announced my call to preach. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. 17 years ago, amen, met that little blonde-headed woman you see back yonder. Had a revival, thank God, forevermore. Amen, prayed, begged God, asked God to have babies, have children. Never thought it was going to come to pass. 8 years ago, that little boy you see up here this morning, God give him to us. Amen. 4 years ago, that little girl you see back, God give him to us. Amen. The house I live in, the clothes on my back, the shoes on my feet, I am what I am this morning. By the grace of God, if it had not been for Jesus, I'd be in hell, children. And if you're lost here this morning, and you don't know God, without Jesus, that's where you're going to be too. He can make a difference in your life today if you'll let him. If you'll let him. Anybody feel like they need to pray? Anybody feel like they need to pray? My Lord and my God, we come to you again this morning. God, the earnestness of my heart. I thank you, Lord, for who you are in my life. God, what you've been, where you brought us from. God, all you've done for us, down through, Lord, the time. God, Lord, as I told Faith yesterday, looking, God, at them 17 roses, Lord, that's sitting on the dresser there in the bedroom. 17 valentines, Lord, that she's been mine. I told her yesterday, Lord, that I loved her. God, I don't know how many times in them 17 years I've said it. But Lord, I told her again one more time this morning. Lord, I'll tell her several more times today, tell her again tonight. God, Lord, I don't mean it to sound small, but God, that don't even compare. As good, God, as she's been in my life. God, that don't even compare to who you are and what you've been in my life. And one more time, the Lord, this morning, I want to tell you, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus, for who you are and what you've done. And for this sinner boy, bless your name, Lord. I pray some way, somehow, feebleness, God, in my part. God, but I've tried my best to tell them who you are. I pray some way, somehow, God, Lord, the words we said, you'll imprint it on the hearts of these that need help today. God, some word as they leave from this church sometime today, sometime in the future. God, would you let somebody else tell them one more time? Give them another chance. Give them another opportunity, our people. Our family that's lost, God, would you give them one more time? Would you tell them again? Would you send somebody down their way, God, to whisper to their hearts how good you are? God, that they might open up their eyes, that they might realize how much they need you. Be with this church, be with each home, each family. God, these children, Lord, these young folks that sit here before us and not come to the age of accountability. When the time comes, God, would you bring one more message? Would you bring one more Holy Ghost service? Would you bring one more Holy Ghost filled song? God, would you bring one more testimony? God, whatever's needed for them to see how much they need you. One more time. Tell them again. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And amen. Appreciate the Lord this morning. Appreciate the privilege and opportunity to be in the Lord's house. All that the Lord's done for.